How do you do? It's been said that alcohol is an equal opportunity destroyer. No matter who or what you are, use it, and it will weave its web until it traps you. Once you're trapped, it will destroy you. You're about to meet a man for whom that was the case. Alcohol had trapped him and was destroying his life. He fought back, but the bottle was winning, until his heart and mind and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, dramatizing true stories produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. On a daily basis, the Pacific Garden Mission battles to rescue those on the brink of death. However, most of the world knows nothing of those battles. But since 1877, this has been the role of the mission. At first, it was a little Chicago storefront where the homeless could escape the cold and find acceptance and encouragement. Today, thanks to faithful friends whose financial gifts help keep the doors open 24 hours a day, the mission provides food, clothing, and lodging to hundreds of men, women, and children, all without charge. The mission's medical and dental clinics see to their physical needs, while pastors and counselors see to their inner need, the finding of peace and a new life. And the stories of new life are what this program is all about. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3267 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. The man in our story became one of the people that alcohol seduced and then began to destroy. This is the story of how that trend was reversed. The true story of Bob Bell from the classic files of Unshackled.
I'd like to blame my mistakes on a dysfunctional family life, but the truth is I came from a close-knit, loving family. In 1940, young men from across America, especially rural areas, joined the army, myself included. Well, joined is not really the right word. I pulled a fast one and they let me in.
All right, ladies, line up behind that line and be ready to read the eye chart for the doc.
What eye chart, Lieutenant?
The chart on the far wall over there. Looks just like the one behind you. All right, you're next, Bill. Read those letters from the doc. You can't see it, can't you? Right under the clock?
Under the clock? Yes, sir. Let's see. EHNDFNPTXZUZDTF.
All right, wise guy. That's enough.
How'd that do, Sam?
Perfect. Way to go.
Quiet, you two. Okay, Bell, you passed. Move on to the next station.
Truth is, my eyesight was so bad, I couldn't make out any of the letters on the chart that was under the clock. While I was standing in line, I memorized the chart that was on the wall right next to me. But the Army accepted me, and a few days later, I found myself on the rifle range.
Cease fire! Cease fire!
Bell, what state are you from?
Sir, Alabama, sir. Birmingham, Alabama.
They don't do much hunting in Birmingham, do they, Bell?
Sir, no, sir. Most do, sir. Something wrong?
What kind of score you think you got on that target?
Well, sir, about the same as everyone else.
Oh, that's so. Bell, you're lousy. You didn't hit anything but that red flag.
How's that, sir?
That red flag waving in front of your target. You can see the flag, can't you?
Yes, sir. I see it. Yes, sir. What's it mean?
Means you didn't hit anything near your target.
After that, the lieutenant kept a close eye on me. Whether we were in class, on the range, or even in the mess hall, he was watching me. A few days later, he zeroed in on me, and I couldn't bluff my way out anymore. We were marching on the drill field. As I marched along, the lieutenant came up alongside me, fell in step, and was marching next to me.
Bell, what's the lettering on that water tank?
Water tank?
Water tank. What are the words on it?
Well, sir, it's a little fuzzy, but I believe it says basic training.
Do you even know how to read? Let's try something simple, Einstein. What colors it painted? And don't say it's got black letters. What are the colors of the tank?
Well, sir, I can't say as I rightly know how to name them colors.
White and red are not a hard color to name, Bell. I don't think you can even see that tank, let alone name the colors or read the lettering.
I hated the thought of leaving the army. I enjoyed military life, but I couldn't cover up my faulty eyesight any longer, and I was discharged.
Don't worry about it, Bob. Man, lots of guys wish they had eyesight like yours so they could get out, too.
I know, Sam, but I like the army. I was thinking I might stay on, make it a career. Oh, let's have another beer.
You're already drunk on two. One more and you'll be blind.
Hey, you making fun of me?
No, but I never seen a guy get sloshed on 3-2 beer. I'm going to start calling you Three Beers Bill.
Well, my name ain't Bill.
Bill, Bob, whatever. Okay, three beers. Let's live dangerously and have another.
I wish I'd lived up to that name and stuck with three beers, but my drinking got worse after my discharge. When I got out, I went to work for the post office as a letter carrier. Despite my eyesight, I landed the job, and my bad eyes were a problem.
Afternoon, Mrs. White. I have a favor to ask. It's this here envelope. You see, the handwriting's so small, I can't hardly make out who's it for. Would you mind looking at it and telling me who I'm supposed to deliver it to?
Well, let's see. It's for Helen Riley. She lives in the next block, third house. Oh, it's from Mobile. I wonder who she knows there. Looks like it might have a photograph in it. Who would be sending Helen a snapshot from Mobile? Return address says, a man.
Please, ma'am. That ain't our business. I can get myself in a whole heap of trouble letting you look at that letter.
When the Postal Service got wind of my eye issues, they ordered me to see a doctor. His opinion was that even glasses wouldn't help. So, I had to resign my job. I needed work that didn't require good eyes, so I got a job as a short order cook in a local diner. Soon, I was offered work as a combination bartender and cook. That gave me the chance to drink with the customers, which led to even more drinking. And before long, I was pouring alcohol into my system. When a guy gets to drinking heavily on the job, he soon loses that job. But in the bartending business, it's easy to find another. I probably worked in most of the bars and saloons in Birmingham, but I always wanted to be respectable and keep up appearances. No matter how drunk I got, I always shaved and wore a clean shirt. To most of my customers, it didn't matter, except for Max Prouty, a salesman for a restaurant supply company. He'd stop in at the lunch counter where I worked. Every time he did, he spent a few minutes talking with me.
Hi, Max.
Hey, you don't look so good, Bob. Something wrong?
I can't stop my hands from shaking.
Oh, I used to be the same way, Bob. I'd get the shakes and couldn't get rid of them.
You? I ain't never seen you take a drink.
Well, not since I figured out what life's all about.
I know my way around.
I used to say that, too. But the way around is the way down.
The way down?
Yeah, to death and hell.
Now you sound like my ma. She used to read the Bible to me.
Well, that's been my experience. But the Bible says the same thing. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Mr. Sunshine.
No, we follow the crowd. We go along with the world. We think we're okay. But Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat.
Well, the crowd has fun.
Yeah. And fun fills a void for a while. I tried to fill the void with booze, and I suspect you do, too. We look anywhere and everywhere and can't fill that void.
So, what's the answer?
You really want to know?
Of course. I asked, didn't I?
Okay, buddy. The answer is knowing God, but our sin stands in the way.
Then there is no answer.
Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins on the cross, Bob. The Bible says in the book of Leviticus, it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. God accepts us when we place our trust in Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for our sin.
I don't rightly see how that ties in with me and the Bible.
Jesus can give you a new life, a new beginning. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, you were in the army for a while. You know the difference between peace and war. When God makes you a new creature, you're at peace with him. The war's over. And since you're at peace with him, you're also at peace with yourself. You don't need alcohol to face reality, to fill the void.
You sound mighty sure of yourself.
I am, Bob. I am. The Bible says it, and it happened to me. I've seen it happen to others, and I'd like to see it happen to you too, Bob.
Hey, I'm okay the way I am. I knew I was lying. Max talked to me many times, and I always pretended I was all right. But sometimes, when I was drinking heavily, I'd try to talk to God and offer him excuses. Lord, don't hold this against me, but I need another one. Then I'd go on drinking and forget about God again. I tried to keep up a good front, but sometimes I'd slip. One time I was really wasted and I ran out of clean shirts. I was sitting at a lunch counter when a lady walked in who ran a business nearby.
Bob Bell, is that you?
Yeah, I'm me.
You look terrible.
Well, matches how I feel.
Just look at you. I'm ashamed of you.
Kind of ashamed myself, ma'am.
Your clothing is filthy. I've never seen you like this.
I know. We're nothing I could do about it, though.
Don't you have clean clothing?
Yes, ma'am. I do, but they're at the cleaners and I don't got the money to rescue them.
Well, if that's the trouble, I'll take care of it for you.
How so?
I'll pay the laundry bill if you get yourself cleaned up. One thing I've always said about Bob Bell, no matter how much he drinks, he always looks neat.
Hey, Bob, I heard about what happened with that lady. It's a great story.
I was embarrassed, Max. I don't think it was a good story.
Oh, no, come on, it was.
How so?
Well, the Bible says in Isaiah 64, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. When you put on clean clothes, did it make any difference in who you really are?
I felt better, but inside I was still useless old Bob.
And that's my point. It made you feel better. You looked better, but it didn't change you. It's the same thing when we try to make ourselves good enough for God. We're the same as before. We need Christ to transform us, which changes the inside and the outside.
I lost track of Max after that conversation and crammed the things he said into the back corner of my mind. I didn't like being reminded of who and what I was. Most people have very little patience with drunks, but folks are very patient with me and gave me a lot of breaks. For example, one time I was working in a sandwich shop on a beautiful afternoon just before Easter. And even though I wasn't supposed to start my shift until 6 that night, I stopped in to get a cup of coffee.
Hey, Bob. Nice day we're having,
You betcha, boss. How about a cup of mud?
I'd be offended if I didn't know how much you like our coffee. Hey, that's some box you got under your arm. Must be the biggest bottle in town.
No, Mr. Murphy, no bottle. Here, take a look. It's a present for a lady friend.
Ooh.
A chocolate Easter rabbit. Ain't that the biggest bunny rabbit you ever laid eyes on? Cost me a pretty penny, too.
Man, that's got to be 2 feet high. And you say it's for a lady friend?
Yep. I got to get it over to her right now, but I'll be back in time for my shift. I gave the lady the chocolate. She invited me in for a drink. One drink led to another, and I lost track of time. When I finally went back to the sandwich shop, 6 months had passed.
If it isn't Bob Bell, did you get your rabbit delivered?
Yes, sir, Mr. Murphy, and she enjoyed it.
Are you ready to go back to work, then?
Yes, sir.
Well, grab your apron. Your shift starts now.
We'll hear how Bob's life shifts in a moment. One thing folks often forget about the homeless of our cities is that since they can't afford a place to live or food to eat, they also cannot afford medical or dental care. Many of the homeless people who arrive at Pacific Garden Mission's door suffer from medical and dental problems. Street life contributes to poor hygiene and nutrition. They face exposure to the elements, and their various addictions leave them weak and dispirited. The PGM Medical and Dental Clinic treats these people at no charge, offering them pain relief and diagnostic treatment. But the medical staff dispenses more than medication. They also offer comfort for the soul while they minister to the needs of the body. Each client is taken to the great physician, for he alone can heal their damaged souls. The clinic is staffed by both professionals and volunteers who have a genuine concern about the physical welfare of people and who also want the opportunity to share the good news of new life through Jesus Christ in a tangible way. To learn more about the PGM Medical and Dental Clinic, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
My drinking grew steadily worse, and my employment was erratic. I traveled around the South, stopping to work a little, and stopping more often to drink. By then, I'd become belligerent when I was drunk, starting fights. I usually came out on the short end of the deal, badly hurt. I always ran out of money and moved from one rescue mission to another. In Mississippi, I wandered into a barber shop and convinced the barber to let me use a razor so I could shave. Then, I got hired on as a fry cook in a gin joint restaurant combination. With my experience, I was soon promoted to kitchen manager. The boss trusted me.
Yeah, I trust you, Bell. But that don't mean I trust everybody that comes along.
Well, what do you mean, boss?
Well, somebody in the kitchen's been skimming meat. Bacon.
Stealing when the delivery truck comes?
That's my guess about how it's happening. But like I said, I trust you, so I got a little job for you.
Name it.
I'd like you to keep your eyes and ears open. Maybe you can find out what's happening and who's doing it.
Well, I ain't no detective, but I'll do my best. I kept my eyes open, but didn't see anything unusual until one day when I was sitting in another joint down the street. I saw Jerry, one of the guys from our kitchen, enter the side door and hurry into the kitchen. He didn't see me, but I could see he had a case of bacon with the same markings on the box that our supplier used. I wanted to catch him red-handed taking the bacon from our kitchen, so I didn't say anything to the boss. A few days later, I was drunk in a saloon when Jerry stopped in for a beer. We had a few unpleasant words, and I threatened to tell the boss what I saw. But it took me too long to sober up enough to face the boss. Jerry beat me to the punch.
Bell, open this door or I'll break it in.
Oh, I'm coming. Gotta wake up, you know. Boss? What you doing here at this hour? What's Jerry doing here? What's with the gun? Hey, what's going on?
Nothing I can't fix right now. Get back inside. Jerry, close that door. All right, you lousy lush. You come into my shop, gain my trust again, and stab me in the back, I'll teach you to steal from me.
What are you talking about? It wasn't me. It's Jerry.
Don't give me that, you louse. Jerry saw you taking bacon into that restaurant.
He's lying. I was the one that saw him.
Likely story. Jerry, work him over. I'll keep him covered.
No, don't. I didn't stop. No.
You're no good, bum. I'd kill you.
Please. Enough. They left me on the floor and walked out. A couple minutes later, the hotel manager came in and ordered me out of the hotel for making a disturbance. It was pouring rain by the time I staggered out the back door of the hotel. Spent the rest of the night under a big oak tree as I tried to escape the rain. In the morning, I moved on to the next town, and the next job, and the next drink. My dad died, and I knew Mom would need some help. It gave me a place to stay, so I moved in with her, me, and my bottle.
Bob, what happened? Are you okay?
I'm sorry, Mom. I was doing so good for a couple days.
Why, Bob? What made you turn to the bottle again?
I'm just a drunk. A good-for-nothing drunk. Sorry, Mom. You want me to clear out of here?
No. You're my son. I'm not gonna throw you out. You keep trying your best. I'll keep praying my best.
If I was ever gonna be a help to my mom, I knew I had to sober up. But the fight for another drink continued for several more months. One night, Mom got an answer to her prayers. I had been on a long drinking spree and I was beginning to sober up. For some reason, I suddenly realized that if something didn't change, I was gonna die. I was desperate for a drink, but too sick to pull myself out of bed. It was 9:30 in the evening and I started talking to God. God, I don't even know if you're out there. If you are, I wouldn't blame you for not listening to me. I ain't nothing but a drunk. I'm worthless. Got no future. No hope. I don't even know why I'm talking to you. Well, I kind of do. I want to change. I don't like who I am. What I've become. I went on talking to God, admitting my shameful ways and hopelessness until 2:30 in the morning. Then something amazing happened. A deep calm came over me. In the morning, Mom noticed the difference.
Bob, what happened? You look almost healthy.
Mom, I think maybe I am.
Does this mean you're not gonna drink again?
I'm gonna give it my best shot.
Oh, I've heard that before.
Yeah, I know, but I never felt like this before. I think God had something to do with it. Something did change. I was sober for 6 months. I didn't even want to drink. Now, that would satisfy some people, but Mom wasn't satisfied. Neither was I. You see, a man, or a woman, can go to hell sober just as easily as they can drunk. Staying sober was like putting on clean clothes. I looked good on the outside, but the inside still needed cleaning. I was a sober sinner.
I like the new you, Bob.
Yeah, but a new problem sprung up.
What's that?
Well, God took away my desire for booze, but I ain't satisfied. All those hours I spent drunk are now empty hours. I got too much time and nothing to fill the emptiness.
Well, there is something that will help you fill your void, but you have to ask for it.
What's that?
You have to ask Jesus for his forgiveness, and when you do, he'll clean you up on the inside and fill all the emptiness within you.
Mom, you sound like... Well, what's his name? I can't even remember the guy's name, but you sound like him. He used to come into a place where I worked. I can't remember his name. Is Jackson? No, Max. That's it. It's Max. He can help me.
Bob, you can do it yourself. The Lord will help you.
Yeah, but Max had a way of making things clear for me. I wish I could think of his last name.
Well, where did you meet him?
In a sandwich shop, but I don't think he... Hey, wait a minute. That rescue mission will know who he is.
You know, Bob, I'm sure glad you found me. Been praying for you all these years.
Thanks for coming, Max.
Oh, of course, this is important. I'd go round the world to talk to you about Christ. You remember I told you that the Bible says we're all sinners?
You got that right. I have no doubt about that.
Well, God provided the remedy for sins. His Son, Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus said, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." You see, God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Even me?
Yes. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Bob, if somebody wants to give you a birthday gift, how do you get that gift?
Well, I suppose they'd offer it to me, and then I'd have to take it.
And it's the same way with God's salvation. He's offering it to you right now, but you have to accept it. And when you receive it, it's yours.
That night, I got on my knees, confessed to God that I was a sinner in need of His gift of salvation, and received God's wonderful gift of forgiveness and salvation. At that point, the old Bob Bell was born again. God created a new one. And now, all these years later, I can say that the change in me was permanent, overshadowing the 45 previous years. Praise the Lord.
Bob Bell eventually began working with alcoholics, founded an alcohol counseling ministry, and worked with countless rescue missions, pointing men and women to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listening friend, peace with God is available to you too. The living Lord that offered his forgiveness to Bob is offering it to you right now. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In your own words, ask him to forgive you and give you a new life in Christ. If you need help in making this life-changing decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. That address again is Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago is 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. This is program number 3267. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.